Thank you, Preacher Mike. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here tonight. I got to move this down because Preacher's so tall here. Move this down. I'm so excited to be here tonight. Hey, I just want to give a quick update because you've all have been praying for us and we're so excited about what God is doing in Killeen, Texas. As Pastor Monty mentioned, I'm at the Tabernacle Baptist Church, assistant pastor down there. And last time I was here, I was here back in March, and we were getting pretty close to Easter, and I asked you guys to pray about we're launching our new bus ministry on Easter Sunday. And I want some of you might know what the results of that were, but we were praying for 100 people in church. And our church, we at that time is about 50 to 60 people every Sunday morning, but we're doing a big outreach and we wanted to fill up our bus. We have a 60-passenger bus that had been sitting for several years, had to stop using it, but now we wanted to get it back on the road, and the Lord provided miraculously a tire for it and all the repairs it needed, so it's on the road. And that first Sunday that we launched the bus ministry, we had 42 children on that bus. And that was a great blessing. Thank you so much for praying for that. And we were praying for 100 people, and we had 101. And so the Lord blessed, gave the extra 10% there. But also, more importantly, we were praying for, every Wednesday night, our church was praying. We prayed for about a month. We prayed for 20 people to get saved on Easter Sunday. Like, wow, that's a lot to ask, but we serve a God that blesses above and beyond what we could ask or think. And the Wednesday night before Easter Sunday, it was actually the Wednesday night, first Wednesday I'd been back from being up here, that next week we had seven teenagers accept Jesus Christ. On that Wednesday night, it was an interesting night. I preached the gospel, and that wasn't in my message for that evening, but I felt led. We had some teenagers that we don't usually have, and the Lord had prepared them, and we had just prayed for 20 people, and seven teenagers got saved. And then that next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, we had 10 children accept Christ in children's church because they came on the bus, and three in the main service. So do the math there, we had exactly 20 people get saved. And just amazing things have happened. We had a great school year last year. We finished up the year, and Mother's Day, we had 75 to 80 mothers and daughters there. And me and three other teenagers, we served all as a banquet. So if you never served 80 people in about 30 minutes, I was tired that night, I will say. I was tired, but we had a great time there and was a blessing. And this last week, I'll try not to put you to sleep now. I'll be as energetic as I can, but last week we had VBS last week. I had a four-day VBS, and I wanted to thank Faith Baptist Church. They taught me a lot about VBS. I worked here for 2 years in VBS, and we were praying for 100 kids, but the Lord gave us 65 right around, and we were praying for 30 children to get saved. Like, wow, that's half your VBS. Well, we were praying in faith, and a lot of the kids we had come hadn't been to church before because our bus route had gone down a little bit because different ones had gone away for the summer. The first night we had 62. We had 62 kids. We didn't give an invitation. We had a very evangelistic VBS, basically gave the plan of salvation over 4 days. And on the third day, we had a skit on the judgment of sin, had a courtroom, and I was the judge and how our sin has to be judged. And as a result of God used that, we had 35 children. That's a lot of children to deal with at one time. We had 35 children. We were almost overwhelmed. 35 children made decisions for Christ, and one more the next night. So over half of our VBS got saved. We're just so amazed, and that's God right there. I don't pat myself on the back for that. I thank you all for praying for us. Just thank you so much for supporting us down there. We're so excited about that, and just so many wonderful things. But pray, because already we have outgrown our bus already. We've had it on the road for about 2 months. We have outgrown our bus, so we need another bus. We're praying for another one by next summer. So if you have any old buses hanging around, I'll drive it back down, take it with me, okay? Yes, I know. I asked Pastor Lopez. He said, you don't want any of those. No, if it rolls and has wheels, I'll take it. But we're just so excited, and God is blessing, and thank you so much for praying for us. And our school enrollment is up. We're using a Becca video school, and we're just so excited about what God's doing. I give God all the glory and all the praise, and it's good to be back here. in Indiana. And Pastor Monty mentioned that they have several preachers that preach in the United States of America in different countries. So I guess I fall into the different countries category because I'm from Texas now. And so we kind of think of ourselves as our own little country down there. But I did want to mention that it's a great big prayer request I'd like to share with you. Is continue to pray for our military. We're right there in Killeen, Texas, Fort Hood, Texas. You might know where Fort Hood is because of the Fort Hood shootings that took place several years ago. And that's still fresh in the minds of many there. But the sequester has really hit this base, not super hard, but it is affecting people's outlook. But the military is a hard life, and there's many broken families. And just the need, the burden for the military on my part and my wife's heart has grown stronger. For there is a great, great need. Right now we're praying for a music pastor. We're praying for a youth pastor so we can minister to these families. It's just amid the burdens, sometimes unimaginable things that these teenagers go through in their family situations, immorality and things, but people that are broken. And so we claim the verse that Jesus will bind up the brokenhearted, that he will heal those hearts. And so we are there to minister to them. And so it's a prayer request for us that the Lord give us wisdom as we minister to these different situations. Things I never thought I'd have to do with in ministry. One time, I had to go into a house and break up a physical fight between a father and his teenage son. Things you sign on the dotted line for being a pastor, you don't realize some of the things you have to deal with. And the first week we were there, we had a couple come to us and we're going to get a divorce, but we want to talk to you first. So, at that time, I'd only been an assistant pastor a year, so I guess I got trial by fire there a little bit. But I'm thankful for Pastor Morris and the counseling curriculum that he has that has helped many in this church. And so I emailed him and said, Pastor Morris, I need help. So I'm so thankful for Pastor Hunsaker, and he gave me that. And now that couple's doing well. They're serving God, and their children are doing well. So God, and I give God all the glory. That's not me. I had no idea what I was doing, but I just give God all the glory. The Bible is the answer, amen. The Bible is the answer. And so I want to thank you all for praying. There's so much more I could go on, but we got to get to the message tonight. If you could take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua tonight, the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 14. And in this message I've shared with our church family in Texas several times, and it's such an inspiring account. It's what I want to be true in my life, what was true in Caleb's life. We're looking at Caleb tonight in Joshua chapter 14 and verses 6 through 15 in a message entitled, I Want That Mountain. I love that hymn. I know it's one of the favorites around here at Faith Baptist Church. And I love the hymn, I Want That Mountain. There's giants in our life. There's mountains that God wants us to conquer. And God wanted Caleb to have this land that we're going to read about in just a moment. Joshua chapter 14. And let's read together. And if we can stand out of respect for the reading of God's word tonight, let's all stand together. Joshua chapter 14 and verses 6 through 15. And God's word says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee and Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh his Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjaraba, which Arba was the great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight to be in your house. Lord, I pray that you would be with us. We think of Pastor Wall out at camp. We think of Pastor Morris as well up at Temple Baptist. Thank you, Lord, for a church that preaches the gospel. So thank you, dear Lord, for this church and the great ministries that it has. Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts tonight to your word and that you would encourage us that with this account as we see Caleb wholly followed you, dear Lord. I pray that you would help us to wholly follow you in our life. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time. Give me the words to say, hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for so long. I want that mountain. Here we see the account of Caleb, and Caleb had been promised this land from before, from Deuteronomy and in Numbers chapter 13, verses 26 and chapter 14, verse 1. We saw that Caleb was one of the 12 spies of Israel. And Caleb and Joshua, they were two that went out, for 12 went out, but only two came back with the right attitude and the attitude that God wanted them to have. Now, a very important thing to remember, God wanted the 12 spies to go out to see what God had for them, not for them to decide if they wanted it or not. For God had promised that to them, had promised it to their forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And when the 12 came back, two said, this is the land that God has blessed us with. This is what God is going to enable us to do, and this is what we're going to do. But then 10 said, the land is too great. The enemies are too great. There's giants there. There's great tall fenced cities. And they were discouraged. They were disheartened. And you know what? It's very dangerous to have a disheartened, discouraged heart because it affects others. And the children of Israel, they didn't follow after the two that followed God. They followed the crowd. They followed the crowd and the whole nation. At that time, it could have been up towards of 2 million people. 10 men affected 2 million people quite negatively. And they turned against God and murmured against God. You can see all through the Old Testament, the children of Israel went through a lot of that. They went through a lot of discouraging times. They murmured against God and God judged them. But he promised Caleb something. He promised Caleb because Caleb wholly followed God. He did not follow the crowd. He did not lose faith. He was not discouraged. He said, we can do this with God's help. If God is with us, who can be against us? And this was the fulfillment of that promise. And how amazing is that? That God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. You know that God has a mountain for you? God has a special purpose for us, though it's different for every one of us, but God wants us to all wholly follow after him. Do we have the same attitude as Caleb? Do we say, hey, God will do this. God will enable me to do this. This church can move forward and accomplish great things for God, not because we're great people. We're not great people. We're horrible, dirty, rotten sinners. Amen. We're saved by grace. We're saved from our past. We're saved from our sin. But God is the one that gives the power and God gives the victory. And God preserved Caleb at 85 years old. He said, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40 years old. Man, I love to see that. We love to see meet Caleb. Caleb, 85 years old. He's going out. He's going to go wage a war. He didn't say, I'm too old. He didn't say, I'm over the hill. It's too late for me. He said, no, God promised, and I'm going to claim that promise. You know why? Caleb had some faith. Caleb had some faith. Caleb had faith in a God, for he saw God work miracles, and he saw what happened to those that wandered in the wilderness for those 40 years. How easy it is for us to get off on the wrong track. To get off into things we ought not, to get out of the will of God. They got out of the will of God. That was their judgment. But Caleb was preserved in Joshua. Got to remember, Caleb and Joshua were the only ones out of that generation that were left. All the rest had perished in the wilderness. That was their judgment. They were never going to see the promise of God. Let it not be said of you that because you fell away from God, you didn't wholly follow God, you didn't have the faith to step out, even though when it appeared, there was nothing there. But sometimes God tells you to do that sometimes. To step out there, and there doesn't appear to be anything there, but God said, step, and we got to step out in faith, but God's there. God is there. That's all we have to worry about. And let's not get off on the wrong track and say, God, I'm not going to do that because it's too much for me. The children of Israel, all those ones that died in the 40 years, they missed ever seeing God's promised land. They had looked forward to it. They had been brought out of Egypt. They had been brought through trials. God had worked miracles in their midst, had preserved them from God's enemies. Then God said, that's it. This is the last time. God's patience does run out with us sometimes. God does set us on the shelf like he did with them. But he fulfilled this promise to Caleb. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 8. God is always there. God is always able to accomplish what he promises. Amen. He is always able to carry us through. He never breaks a promise. Aren't you thankful for that? We can claim the promises of God. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse number 8. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. This was the power that God was manifesting in them. And that's the promise that Caleb proved. He claimed that promise that God was a terrible. He was a mighty. He was God. Caleb really believed that. That was a reality to him. And he claimed that promise. And God has called us to do great things as well. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. God has called all of us to greatness. But to different, what might be great to some people might not be great for you. That's why God has a different will for you. Your greatness might not be great in the world's eyes. You know what the Bible says? That friendship with the world is enmity with God. The world is not your friend. The world is not going to see what you're doing for God. It's like, oh, you're doing is worthless. What are you doing serving God over here? That doesn't get you success. Success is my master saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when I get to heaven. That is success. That is not accumulating money or things or fame or what people say. And 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I know God has to be patient for me to be standing here today, okay? The Lord has been patient with me, been long-suffering. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. And I'm sure a lot of you are thankful for God's mercy on your life and helping you. And even when you were stubborn, and I know I've been stubborn many times in my life, said, God, I don't want to go this way, but God has been long-suffering to us. We should be thankful for that. And we need to be claiming the promises of God. Now, second, that's our first point, a promise fulfilled. Second, a spirit that could not be overcome. Let's turn back to Joshua chapter 14. You know that Joshua had an indomitable spirit. He wasn't going to let any old giants in the land and tall the walled cities. Well, the world would say, you can't do it. It's impossible. He did not have a quitter's attitude. And you know, a lot of churches today, and I'm so thankful for Faith Baptist Church that they have all these bus routes that go in and bring these kids in. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for ones like Dr. Jeff Fugit, who has, I don't know how many bus routes he has. He has some 22 or 25. He has a lot, bringing in these bus kids and all these different ministries and different ones. I'm thankful for West Coast Baptist College. Dr. Paul Chappell has been a great inspiration to me. I read many of his books. I'm so thankful. And Dr. Rasmussen and the great ministry that they have there. That they are ones that do not have a quitter's attitude. They want to overcome. And some churches today, it's like, oh, just pull their ears in. We're going to hold the fort till Jesus comes. The world, and we just can't fight the world. God called us to be offensive. Caleb didn't win it by having a defensive attitude. Caleb won and overcame because he knew God's promise and he acted on it. Do we act on the promises of God? Do we act on, say, God, you promised this. You promised if I was faithful to you that you would bless. That if I had faith in you that you give me boldness. That if I had faith in you that you will accomplish this. Do we have that overcoming attitude? That God doesn't call us to sit in a defensive position, but to storm the fortress of hell and to storm the fortress of this world and to overcome, not to just sit down and wait for the end to come. God wants us to be overcomers. If you're discouraged tonight, I hope this encourages you that God has the victory. God has already won. You know, we already won. We're already on the winning side. Like, we're winning. It's a losing battle with the world. Yes, I know evil is in the world today. But you know what? We're going to heaven. Why are you worrying about all that's here? We're going to heaven, amen. We're going to be there. And you know what? God will win in the end. He'll come in terrible judgment. And this world will get what is coming. But we don't have to be so enthralled with that. Don't be discouraged, though it is hard to see our country go the path that it is going. It is hard to see. Knowing where our country came from and those that know the history of our country, it is hard to see where we're at today. It's hard to see the broken families. I mentioned in the military area that we're on, Fort Hood is the largest military installation in the free world, Army installation. And it has over 70,000 soldiers on it at any given time. And it's so hard to see, and it happens almost weekly, that there's some car accident. There was just the other week, there was a motorcycle accident. I don't know if he was a soldier or not, but there was a motorcycle accident. And every week they have a board on the fort that said the number of days before between fatal car accidents involving a soldier. The highest I've ever seen that is 30 days. Every week or every other week, sometimes several times a weekend, there is a alcohol or drug-related car accident where a soldier loses his life because they didn't know the truth, because the lifestyle that they have adopted, the lifestyle of a military person is not very God-honoring in some ways. I know there are some good Christian people, and we're thankful for that. But it's a hard thing to send an 18-year-old. They think they're a man, and they're not. You give them a gun, you give them a uniform, they think they're invincible. And as we need to be ministering to them and pray for those people that do that and that are putting their lives on the line for our country. And unfortunately, our administration has not treated our military very fairly. I'm sorry to say it has not. But we need to be focused on overcoming, not focused on, oh, well, it's so horrible that they're in their situation. But where are the, let's start some ministries to help these people. That's why I'm so thankful for the bus ministry. There's kids out there that need to go to church. I don't know who started the idea of the bus ministry. Say, hey, let's go and bring them to church if their parents won't bring them. Let's bring them in so they can hear the gospel. Let's be overcomers. Let's not just sit back and relax, but let's work for God. And it's amazing to me that Caleb's confidence in God did not diminish over 45 years. That his confidence in God never wavered. He was faithful, and he knew God would bring it to pass. We are impatient sometimes. We're an impatient society. If we're in McDonald's drive-through more than a minute longer than we think, and if we're in there 5 minutes, man, we're tapping our foot, we're getting impatient. And sometimes that transfers over to our spiritual life and our relationship with God. Are we impatient with God? Say, God, I prayed about this 5 minutes ago. Why don't I have an answer yet? God, I've been praying about this for months. Why haven't you answered yet? Have faith. He'll answer. He'll answer. Be patient with God. There has been times in my life I remember that I got ahead of God, and we can do that. We want to do right, and we're trying to do the right thing. We can get ahead of God, and we miss it sometimes, and God has to set you back a few steps and so you can get going on the right path. So let's not be impatient with God. Caleb wasn't. Caleb knew the exact time, and God's timing is perfect. Perfect, amen. It is the perfect time, the right time. And Caleb did not see the obstacles. Caleb saw the opportunities. Caleb didn't see that there were Anakims there. He wasn't worried about the armies. He wasn't worried about the giants. He wasn't worried about the tall and fenced cities. He saw what could be. He saw what could be. He had a vision that God had given this. This was his grandchildren's land. It was his heritage. He saw that. He saw the vision. He saw what God could do. Do we see that in our life? Do we see what God can do in our life? Or do we see what problems are in our life? We get kind of introverted and we focus on, well, I have this problem, and I have this problem, and I have this problem, and I have this problem over here, and this is going to mess over here. Well, stop focusing on the problems of God. How do I fix it? God, what is the solution? And the solution is right here. I'm so thankful for Faith Baptist Church and Pastor Mon. He preaches this Word of God, King James Version, 1611, right here. This is the Word of God, and we're so thankful for that because there are a lot of people that are discarding this Bible. There's a lot of people, a lot of independent Baptist churches even are discarding the King James Version of the Bible for more user-friendly versions. It's sad to say, but we need to stand on this Word right here. This is the Word of God. You know, we serve a holy God, a perfect God. And you know what your Bible says? It says, Holy Bible, right here. Holy. You know what holy means? Holy means perfect, without error. It is pure. It comes from a holy God. We can trust it. This is our answer right here. This is the answer to all of our life's problems. It's not in a bottle. It's not in a pill bottle. It's not in anything the world has to offer. Even it's not definitely not given by Dr. Phil, okay? This is God's word right here. It's not on Twitter. It's not on Facebook. And I'm thankful for Twitter, though. I get to follow good men of God. And I follow Pastor Monty. I would be remiss if I didn't. I think he would come down here, come down there and beat me up if I didn't follow him on Twitter. But I think I was your thousandth follower or something. I don't remember that, but I was something like that. But I followed Dr. Paul Chappell as well. Sorry, Dr. Rasmus, I haven't followed you yet, but I'll make sure I do that after tonight. But I'm so thankful for good men of God. You know what they do? They don't use it to gossip. They don't use it to try and tear people down. They do it to encourage, to uplift people, and that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be uplifting those on our Facebook page, okay? Some of the nastiest things I've ever heard said have been on Facebook, okay? I've seen that. I've been the receiving end of that. It's like, well, you know, and maybe you've seen that, maybe a friend of yours. And it's so interesting that someone writes something about God and about God's Word, something encouraging, and there's always a critic out there. They say, well, that's not true. Let's not be that way. Let's be encouraged in God's Word. Also, not only did he have an overcoming attitude, third, he had a follow-through attitude. Because we get excited. Oh, yes, I want to serve God, and God's going to do something in my life, and I'm going to overcome with God's help and God's power. But then we get all excited. The next day, we're not as excited anymore. The next day after that, we're not as excited anymore either. I'm not saying we shouldn't go off emotion, okay? I'm not trying to get you all worked up and go do something. No, emotion's not the key. We should be emotional. We should be excited about what God is doing. But we need to have the follow-through, the discipline to follow through. Because Caleb was excited. Caleb, he was 85 years old and he was ready to go out. You know what? But he did it. He went out. He followed through. First, and you know what this is all based on? It was based on Caleb's faith. His faith in God. You know what the Bible says? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we're to be Christians that please God, we've got to take some steps of faith. When we got saved, we took a step of faith, and sometimes that's the last step we take. We get saved, and we stay right there. We stay, and we don't want to follow after God because that's too hard. Because, my friends, this and that, I can't see the path. That's the point. We don't see the path. We see the next step in front of you. You see the next step. You know what? If God gave you the full picture, you'd go off and do it without Him. That's why He doesn't give you the full picture. And I know in my life, that's right. If God gave me the whole picture, if God told me, okay, I graduated from college. Let's see. Well, I started going to college almost 7 years ago. It seems like yesterday, but I'm starting to get old. I'm going to be 26. Like, well, you're just a youngster. I feel like I'm getting old. But I graduated in 2010, so I've been out of college 3 years. So I started school 7 years ago. Never would I have told you, because I went there to be a missions major. I didn't want to be a pastor. Okay, I didn't want to ever lead singing in front of anyone. I didn't want to preach for anyone. I just wanted to go get my Bible degree, and then I was fine. Well, obviously God had other plans because I'm standing here tonight. Okay, don't ask me to sing. I won't do it. But those things God has shown me, would God have? I would have said even my senior and junior year, what the God had done, I would have, if you had told me that, hey, by the time you graduate, you're going to be on 3 different continents and 3 different missions trips, I would have said, you are crazy. I'm not going, I like the United States of America. I want to be a missions major, but I want to go overseas when I graduate. I wasn't quite ready for that. My sophomore, between my freshman and sophomore summer, I went to Honduras, first time in a third world country. And I stepped off the plane, and said, can I go home now? No, but the Lord used that, and I'll never forget, those are memories in Ghana, Africa. I never remember after a evangelistic film presentation, and the first time I'd ever led a group of kids to the Lord. I never really led someone to the Lord before earlier that week, but never a group of kids. I had 20 African children that said, I want to know how to be saved, and I said, here, go take a Bible and show them. And I didn't know what to do, but I praise the Lord, help me, and the Lord helped me, and I was able to leave. There's no greater experience, one of the greatest experiences of my life, being able to do that. Being able to do that, and God wants to do great things. Now, will God call you to go to a foreign mission field? He might. We should be willing to follow through that. Will He call you to be a pastor? Maybe not. Maybe you're here tonight and you're the end of your life, but you know, God's called you to pray. God's called you to be faithful. God's called you to be faithful to His Word. Well, I don't need to learn anymore God's Word. Well, you just proved that you do right there. We need to never say we've learned too much, or that this is a living Word of God, eternal book. We always, no matter how many times you read the same passage, you'll get something new that's applicable to your life right now. And as I hurry on tonight, do we have that follow through? Do we follow through with God? Do we have the faith to follow through? So tonight, do we have that same faith that Caleb had? He had the faith. He waited 45 years. And even then, you know, his faith in God didn't start when he was a spy. He started when he was young. He was taught, right? I'm sure he had a good mom and dad that taught him to love God. They followed the commandment, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Do we love God that much to sacrifice all, to make him your God? Do we choose God? Sometimes we choose God the same way we choose something off the at the store, because we saw with Peter, when Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? And each time it was a different type of love. Peter, are you fond of me? Peter said, you know I'm fond of you. He said, do you have an affection for me? Yes, God, I do. Peter, do you love me with the kind of love, the unconditional, sacrificial love? Peter said, yes, I do. God asked us that question. Caleb had that kind of love for God. He had confidence in God. Shouldn't you have? We should have confidence in God. Do you want that relationship where you can have confidence in God, where you can pray and know that God is going to answer? That God is going to answer. You know, and if you regard iniquity in your heart, you know what the Bible says, the Lord will not hear you. So if you're living in sin, get that right before you start asking the Lord to help you and asking the Lord to help you overcome sin. We have to have short account with God. But do we have that faith to follow through? Say, God, I don't know the way. I don't know the path. I don't know the direction. But God, I'm going to follow you right now. I'm going to take one step at a time. And that's, I believe that's the best way to follow God. Because if you follow one step at a time, you can't get off the path real easy. Because follow God one step at a time. Say, God, I'm going to follow through even when it seems impossible. With God, all things are possible. Amen. All things are possible. Nothing's impossible. God still works miracles. And I'm so excited. I told you a little bit about what's been going on down in Texas. Miracles. I've been speechless. Sometimes I just get down and weep because God, you're working miracles. It's amazing to see. Revival still does happen. Revival lives still get changed. People still get saved. People are still reached and lives transformed. And I never seen that. I know Pastor Monty's seen that over many years and many others in here. You've seen, and maybe you're one of those. Your life has been transformed and changed. So exciting to see that. And don't lose faith in God to pray for your family members and those that you love that aren't following after God or maybe aren't saved. God can still say that. Don't ever give up on someone. Don't ever give up because you never know when that last one will be. That last time, present the gospel. Be a soul winner. Tell others about it. Jesus, well, I'm no good at it. It's okay. I'm no good at it either. None of us are good at it. It's the word of God. It's God that saves. As long as we tell the truth and we give the gospel according to what God says, God's way, then God does the rest. So tonight, how confident are you in God? Or do you have the overcoming attitude? Do you follow through and say, God, you promised I'm going to go through with it? So tonight, where are you tonight? Do you have that confidence of God, or is your faith shaken tonight? Has your faith been shaken by a circumstance? Has your faith in a person been shaken? Put your faith in God. Don't put your faith in people, not even those you love. Put faith in God. Love people the same, but love God. Give God all of your faith, all of your trust, because God will never disappoint. God has never disappointed me. God has never disappointed a lot of you in here tonight. But though, especially for young people tonight, you young people, you follow this book. Listen to what Pastor Wall teaches you. He's a man of God. Listen to this book. And especially those here tonight that you're finishing up your schooling. It wasn't very long ago I was in your shoes. I was getting ready to graduate and just started college. And I learned so much. And learn as much as you can at college. Ask your teachers lots of questions. Learn as much as you can. I know I should have asked a lot more. When I came home, I'd ask preacher all the questions. He'd try and answer them. So if you have any questions, ask this man right here. He knows a lot. But it's very important that we respect and that we ask questions of those that are older than us, those that have been there before. If you're 18 and 20, you don't know what life's about yet. I'm just figuring out. I'm 25. I'm just figuring out what life's about. I have a 2-year-old son. I'm just figuring out what life's about. But let's remember, he isn't 2 yet, but he's not terrible. But I don't want to say that about my son. But he's energetic, explorative, and very curious. Okay, so very, very curious boy. He's a good boy, though. I love him all my heart. But we need to make sure that we're following after God. Let's make sure that we're doing that tonight. Where is your faith tonight? Is it in a person? Is it in some celebrity? Is it in God? If it's in God, then let's follow through. Let's have that faith that strong. Because we say, oh yeah, I love you, God. I am doing what you want me to, God. I'm following after you, are you? Say, God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. But when God tells you, like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. It shouldn't be what we expect. It should be, yes, Lord, I will do what you have me to do. Isn't that what Isaiah did? Isaiah followed. Isn't that what Samuel did? Isn't that what Moses did? Isn't that what Caleb did? Isn't that what Paul did? Paul was called. I think there's no dramatic call in the Bible than when Paul on the road to Damascus got called by God. And he said, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to follow you and serve you. God has that plan for you. Let's do that tonight. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we're thankful for tonight. We're thankful for all that are here. Lord, I pray that you bless this invitation time, that we not be discouraged, and that we would have faith in you like Caleb had. Dear Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to not deem things impossible. Help us, Lord, to not lose heart, but to overcome. Lord, help us to be on the offensive and not on the defensive, but to win the battle for you. Let's be the soldiers of the cross. Lord, I pray you bless the invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Mike.